Extraordinary music this morning, amen. Probably most of you know that that June is Pastor Dick Dramer's wife. She's a pastor's wife, although and probably most of their ministry, that's how she's been known. But around here, he's her husband, right? And that's probably a good thing. I grew up in a church where the pastor's wife was the organist and the choir director, and she was over all of the music for 40-something years, and so it was almost an expectation. In fact, Pam and I have only interviewed at a couple of churches, but invariably the first question they'll ask her is, "Do you play the piano?" And she says, "No," and they're like, "Oh," you know, and then we move on. Yeah, I'm not sure if there wasn't a time when you weren't allowed to be ordained if your wife didn't play the piano or something. Clotine, I don't know how you dealt with that, but you kind of know what I'm talking about. But what a blessing, right? And Chip mentioned how, you know, it's all right. We'll just keep on embarrassing her, you know? He mentioned how it's, you know, no notes, it's in the head and in the fingers, but it's in the heart, right? That's where it's coming from. So what a blessing, and that's what I want to talk about today. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Isn't that great? The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he doesn't intermix it with anything else. There's no but at the end of that. And so there's, you know, we can look at our lives, our spiritual state, and we can know that two things are true about ourselves. We're sinners. And in a lot of churches, that's, you know, that's the main thing that we're told we are. We are sinners, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's who we are. But there's another truth, and that we are God's beloved. And there is nothing you can do about that either. See, sin does not come alongside of the belovedness and remove it from you. God does not turn his back on sinners because we are created in his image and we are his beloved. When we sin, he's disappointed. He's maybe even hurt. But it does not change our belovedness. This morning we, as a family of God, gather around the Lord's table. And we're reminded that there are words of institution that are said every single week that are quotes from Jesus. And talks about how Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it. And a couple of weeks ago we talked about how taken talks about our chosenness. And blessedness talks about somebody speaking something into your life. It literally comes from the Latin word, which means speaking well of someone else. And that's important in all of our lives, isn't it? We all need words of affirmation. We live in a very harsh world. We live in a world where there's tons of criticism. There's tons of condemnation. It's almost like those are the words that rule in our culture. The political discourse has moved into the discourse of normal everyday lives. That's how they talk about each other, is how we talk about each other. There is much blaming going on. There is much complaining that is going on. And so you could say that we live in a world of cursing, not of blessing. And by that, I don't mean that people use cuss words a lot, but that we seem to live under some kind of a curse, a word that keeps telling us that there's something wrong with us, that there's something bad about us, there's something rotten, worthless, doomed to sickness, doomed to death. In many ways, it's easier for us to believe that we're cursed more than that we are blessed. But we have to be reminded that the curse does not tell the truth. The cross of Jesus Christ lifted the curse from all of humanity, and so we are now free to claim our blessing, to claim that we are the beloved of God, to claim our created in his image and likeness, that we are created for his pleasure and for his glory. No one can live without words of affirmation. We all need people speaking into our lives about the good that is in us. The blessing goes beyond words of affirmation. More than words of praise or appreciation, more than pointing out someone's good deeds or complimenting their accomplishments. See, to give a blessing, to speak a blessing into someone's life, is to say yes to their belovedness. It's to recognize in their person, not just in their behavior, but in their person, that they are indeed a child of God, redeemed by Jesus Christ. They are God's beloved. A blessing touches the original goodness of the other person and then calls it out. A blessing are words that aren't just listened to and heard. They're words that actually evoke something out of the other person. In other words, to speak a blessing into someone's life is to actually create the reality of which you are speaking. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. We need to realize, first of all, that the blessing in this proverb is not talking primarily or even at all about material wealth. We tend to look at things like that. The richness of which he speaks is not monetary wealth. It's a richness of heart. It's a richness of soul, a richness of spirit. And those kind of words reach deep down inside a person, touches them, and moves them closer to wholeness, to what the Bible calls perfection. And the second thing is that, like I said, it adds no sorrow, this proverb. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and there is no sorrow in it. It's always the buts that kill you, right? Yeah. We've learned that if you're going to criticize someone, that you need to say something nice about them ahead of time, so that when you get to the criticism part, it softens it a little bit. Doesn't work, does it? Really? The butt just kind of kills everything. And there's no butt here. Henri Nouwen, in one of his books, talks about his experience at the end of his life, the end of his ministry at the large daybreak community in Canada, where he and others were caregivers to people who had severe disabilities in their lives that made it impossible for them to live alone. And he talked about how at a prayer meeting, or actually just before a prayer meeting, a woman from the community came up to him and asked him for a blessing. "Henri, can you give me a blessing?" she asked. And so he kind of acted as a priest did. He's a Catholic priest, and so he traced the sign of the cross on her forehead, and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and she said, in the way that sometimes simple people can be when they're very profound, there's none of us who are really simple. And she said, "That doesn't work. I want a real blessing." She'd had the sign of the cross thing many times. I want a real blessing. And so Henri apologized and he said, I tell you what, when we all get together for the prayer service, I'll call you forward for a real blessing." And so that's what he did. During the service, he called her forward and he put his arms around her and he laid her head on his chest and he blessed her. And he said, "I want you to know that you are God's beloved daughter. You're precious in God's eyes. Your beautiful smile, your kindness to people in the house, all the goodness you show us, and all the goodness you show us, what a beautiful human being you are. I know you're feeling a little low these days. I know that there's some sadness in your heart, but I want you to remember who you are. A very special person, deeply loved by God and all the people who are here with you." She looked up at him with a big old smile, and he knew that she had both heard and received a real blessing. And she went back to her place only to be replaced by another woman who came forward. She wanted a blessing as well. And then others. And then one of the assistants, a 24-year-old student, came up too. He said, John, it's so good that you're here. You're God's beloved son. Your presence is a joy for all of us. And when things are hard and life is burdensome, always remember that you are loved with an everlasting love. And John looked up at Henri with tears in his eyes and just simply said, thank you. See, blessings call forth the reality of which they speak. They make in the hearer something in themselves that they weren't sure was there. They see something that they weren't sure was there. Blessings call forth the reality of which they speak. And when I look back at my life and I think of the people who are the people of significance in my life, I of course think of people who are close to me, my parents and my grandmother and her sisters and my wife and my children, my close friends that I've had through the years, these people who have and even continue, even after some of them have passed on, continue to form me as a person. I remember in the sixth grade, Dad pulling me out of school and taking me to an Orioles game. Just me and Dad. I don't remember a thing about the game. I just remember that Dad did it. And you know, these are all people who know that they have been a blessing in my life in some shape or another. You know, because we have that close relationship. And I know Dad remembers doing that, you know. But there are other people who have played a significant part of my lives, and they have no idea that they've done it. Because at the time, it didn't seem like what they said or what they did was that big of a deal. Just something they did, but they didn't realize the impact that it had on me. The coach who, when I missed a block during practice, called out to me and said, come on, Larry, you're better than that. And he didn't mean it mean. It was, and he called something, and I said to myself, wow, he really believes in me. I flattened the guy in the next play, you know what I mean? Because somebody believed in me, or the seminary professor, who, renowned scholar who took me under his wing and treated me sometimes not just as a student but as a peer. These are people who do things and say things And I'm sure that coach back in fifth grade doesn't remember that. He may not even remember me. But you know, there are times still in my life when I repeat his words to me. Come on, Larry, you're better than that. It keeps calling forth something in me that I wasn't always sure was there. So this morning I invite all of us to embrace our belovedness, and the belovedness of everybody who's in here, everybody that you meet. And the way we do that is, I think, first of all, prayer. I mean, prayer is a way of listening for the blessing, listening to the blessing. See, the real work of prayer is not what you say, it's in being quiet and listening to the voice of God as it speaks. And says, this is my beloved, and I'm very pleased with you. Ever try to stay silent? I mean, really silent? When your mouth's not saying anything, what are the voices in your head doing? They're just going nuts, right? It's hard to really quiet. Your vocal cords may be still, but the thoughts intrude, distracting us from the task of prayer, which is really to listen to God. And when we talk about listening to God, we're not primarily talking about, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Because what God needs more than anything is not for you to do, but to be who He created you to be. And so we need to not so much listen for God to tell us what to do, but to listen for the voice that tells you who you are, that you are His beloved. And part of coming to grips with this also is just to be present in each and every moment. We're often too busy to notice that we are blessed. And it requires living reflectively, and we're not always good at that. We don't always have time for that. We have to stop, and we have to take time to notice, to pay attention. We have to be present to the things that are happening in our lives as they're happening, and receive them as they come. But here's one truth that I've learned also through the years. That the one who is blessed is also the one who blesses. And if you want to learn to embrace your own belovedness, then learn to embrace the belovedness of other people. If you want to learn how to receive a blessing, then learn how to speak a blessing into another person's life. You know, I'm a words guy. Writing, teaching, speaking, what I do. And I sometimes forget the power of word, but this last couple of weeks I've been reminded in so many different ways. Someone just recently told me of something that I said during a very difficult time in her life. And she remembers it verbatim and told me, just as I do with my coach, that when she gets into a tough scrape, she repeats those words. And I remember saying them, but I didn't understand the impact at the time. And I wanted those words to be helpful to her in this difficult time. That I did not think of them at the time as a blessing. But apparently that's what they were. And some of the things that people have told me in recent weeks that they've said that has blessed them, I honestly don't remember saying them. You just never know what a person is going through and what is going to make an impact on your life. Come on, Larry, you're better than that. You just never know. So choose your words carefully. An offhand comment has the power to bless or to curse, and can change for good or for bad the trajectory of a person's life. A few weeks ago in my Sunday school classes, we're going through Genesis. We studied the episode where Isaac is supposed to bless his Jacob and Esau. And he's actually supposed to bless Esau. You know, it goes to the firstborn. But Jacob and his mother kind of form a little conspiracy and dress him up and smell him up. Isaac's old and he can't see and doesn't hear very well, you know. So they trick him into thinking that Jacob is Esau, and so he speaks the blessing into Jacob's life and not into Esau. So then when Esau comes in later and Isaac goes, "Whoa, wait, this is Esau," and Esau says, "Well, bless me too." And he says, "I can't. I've already given the blessing." What kind of world did they live in that a father could only bless one of his children? That is not the world that God created. No one is brought to life through curses, gossips, accusations, or blaming. These things only call forth darkness and destruction and death. We need to notice the belovedness in one another and call it forth. As we gather around the table, I'm always reminded, and I usually speak the words Paul's recollection as it was passed on to him, about what happened on that first Lord's Supper. And Paul always says on the night that Jesus was betrayed, could have said on Passover, you know, but he always introduces it as on the night that Jesus was betrayed. And then you're reminded that as Jesus gathered with his disciples, he said, "I have earnestly desired to share this meal with you." He had an opportunity to speak a curse, but instead he spoke a blessing and said, I've really wanted that. He might have been looking straight at Judas Iscariot when he said it. I really want this. There's one last shot of calling forth something in Judas. And unfortunately, he didn't listen. So let's listen. As we gather around the Lord's table, let's listen for the voice of blessing, because it is here. This is my body, he said. This is my blood, and I did this for you. Let's gather around the Lord's table.